particularly interesting. It probably reminded him of my hair in its natural state, but green. I was testing out what life would be like without Milosh and starting to ask questions such as, what now? And how would it work if I moved back to LA alone and with an infant? Good questions. Healthy questions. While I was improving, Milosh's health was declining. He started limiting his visits, but called and texted often, describing to me how he kept sweating all night long, changing his shirt over and over again. The strep refused to go away. None of the prescribed antibiotics were making a dent. When I did see him, his weight had dropped at an alarming rate. On the tightest belt loop, the smallest pants he owned were quickly becoming too big. January 20th, 2017. Milosh received his test results back from the hospital screening performed in late December. I was playing with Misha, reading him a Dr. Seuss book, his favorite, because he liked how the words sounded when they had a melodic or rhythmic pattern. His miniature feet kicking and steady cooing, proclaiming his enjoyment. My phone was next to me on the bed and started to ring. Milosh. Debating on whether or not to answer, I remembered that he had been kinder the past week. Still, I should have sent him straight to voicemail with what he had put me through, but he also had me worried. Hey, Milosh, what's up? At first, I thought he had pocket dialed because the other end was quiet. Hello, Milosh? Finally, he responded. I have mielial fibrosis. Cancer. Chapter 13. Wake up. When did you find out? Do they know what stage? Instant waterworks. Silent tears streamed down my face. His voice was dejected, hopeless. I had suspected when I wasn't getting any better before my boards. You know how my spleen was swollen before Christmas? A lot of his conduct was starting to make sense. Milosh had been totally unhinged for weeks, driving like a maniac, picking fights left and right, attacking and attacking, wanting a partner in his sorrow. Please, God, not again. I had watched cancer take my father, and it was ugly and merciless. Can you come over, or are you busy? I asked. Everything was forgiven, wiped clean in an instant because now I understood. The poor guy had been carrying this burden alone, terrified and in denial. I could only imagine the thoughts that must be running through his head. Milosh agreed to drop by, and he hung up. Not wanting to move, I felt so powerless. Mom, can you come in here? I managed to say. I conveyed to her the sad news, and great, now all of us were crying, except for Misha, who was gurgling and looking around, too little to understand the hard parts that make up life. After grabbing my laptop and reading a few articles about mielial fibrosis, it was even more soul-crushing. In most instances, it occurs when you are 55 and older. Milosh's case was rare, as he was only in his 20s. An aggressive form of cancer, treatment options were limited. The median survival rate, depending on a few factors, was 2 to 8 years. A sick family member either unifies or divides, and in our case, it brought us all together. Bittersweet, it felt like a cruel joke. Things just kept getting worse when I thought they couldn't possibly. Milosh did drop by while my mom watched Misha in her room. Clinging to each other, I felt Milosh's heart pounding as tears from his eyes dampened my cheeks. Studying his beautiful face, my soul was in agony. Milosh was so young, so smart, and with so much promise. Why would God or the universe do this to me? To him? What had we possibly done so wrong to deserve the misfortune that seemed to plague us at every turn? If you're going to be sick, you might as well be sick with money. Zora to the rescue. She told me she would start transferring cash right away, as all of Milosh's treatments were going to be out of pocket. The best option was immunotherapy, and it wasn't covered by insurance. They were looking at $5,000 to $8,000 a week, easily. There wasn't much his oncologist could do, but they had seen some success with prolonging life. The key being to find the right combination of drugs to fight his specific mutations. Mueller started sleeping each night back at the townhouse, more and more of his clothing reunited with the waiting shelves. Where Milos went, Louis was close behind, and I finally had all my boys back under the same roof. He promised he would fully move back in once my mom was gone, because it wouldn't be fair to Zora if he was living with us again and she was at a hotel. Honorable, I understood. Right on cue, Barbara bought her plane ticket home, wanting to give us the space we were going to need to try and heal in more ways than one. The father of my child was extremely ill, and it was time to really be a family, just the three of us and Louis. The closer it came to my mom's migration, the sadder I became. She had been my rock for over 4 months. It was obvious how much she loved Misha, and it was killing her that she would have to make her exit, which was killing me to watch it kill her. "Do you want me to stay at a hotel for a few weeks? Make sure everything is fine before I go?" she asks, loading items into the sterilizer while I watch Misha in his crib on the baby monitor, enthralled with the colored objects spinning above him. "No way. You have already lost months of income because of me. I will not have you spending any more money." As much as I wanted her to stay, I had to figure out my extremely complicated relationship on my own. January 29th, 2017. Misha was having serious reflux, which was fairly normal in bottle-fed babies. He had to sleep at an incline or the contents of his stomach would keep coming up and he would fuss and fuss. My wonderful mother had stayed awake all night holding him on her chest in between feedings so he could have some relief from his developing digestive system. I wanted to drive her to the airport, but she insisted on catching a cab. We just had to pull off the Band-Aid. Hug, a kiss for Misha, more tears, and she was off. I had never felt so alone. Milos was over within an hour, upbeat and optimistic. His cheekbones were more pronounced, the angles of his face striking with his continued weight loss. Carrying a duffel bag full of his remaining belongings, he dropped it on the floor next to our bed. Louis bounded in the doorway after him, transporting one of the dozen tennis balls scattered throughout our nest, begging Milos to play fetch. Our puppy associated the master bedroom with fun. I would sit on a bed with Misha so he was safe and throw a tennis ball over and over down the hallway for Louis to retrieve. That dog didn't care where he got to play or if the scenery didn't change, as long as there was someone to play with. "Did Barbara leave already?" Milos asked, already knowing the answer. "Yes, about an hour ago." His face wrinkled in concern. "Why didn't you tell me? I would have given her a ride." He had enough on his plate, not that I wanted to treat him any differently. "It is all good. Are you hungry?" Milos was famished, another side effect of the cancer. No matter how much he consumed, he was still losing weight. We hit up a popular restaurant in Carmel Valley with our son, our first family outing. No matter how hard I tried that afternoon, I couldn't hide the sadness I felt now that the one person who had always had my back was gone. Milos tried to make some small talk in between bites, digging into his steak. My mind kept zoning out, weary and burdened. There had been so much energy expended, I could have slept for weeks and still have been drained. Milos was getting more and more irritated with my silence. After lunch, we made plans to pick up groceries and then head home. Wanting to sit next to Misha so he wasn't alone in the back seat, my maybe fiancé was driving. Spotting me in the rearview mirror, his temper started to flare. "What is wrong with you?" he demanded. "You want your mommy, not me? You just want me to die. Hurtful, hurtful words. Gosh, I was sick of crying. The wet stains marring the makeup I wore so rarely these days. That is not true. Stop it, I said. He pulled a sudden U-turn in the middle of the intersection. Holding onto Misha's car seat, my knuckles were white. My SUV zoomed back towards the townhouse, away from the market. But it's in the eye of fucking cancer. I am dying, and you don't care. Every word was a dagger, sharply stabbing into me. Nothing could have been farther from the truth. Milos, please don't yell. Misha. Our precious son was starting to fuss and squirm, not understanding the raised voices. Where we were located in Carmel Valley, everything was a short drive, so it wasn't long before we were parked in front of the townhouse. He flipped off the engine and turned to face me. Furious. Do you know one of the causes of cancer? Stress. He slammed his hand on the center console, causing me to jump. You and your mom gave me fucking cancer. I am dying, and you don't give a shit. If you have ever been in a seriously traumatic situation, everything seems to slow down. What is another word for devastated, ruined, annihilated, smashed, crushed? Everything that we had gone through so far was nothing compared to this. I needed to get Misha out of that car before Milos started driving again. He was out of control. Unlocking Misha's car seat, I quickly exited the car and carried him inside, wanting to get somewhere that I could protect him. A monster, not a man, followed us up that stairs, spewing hate with every step. Had he not destroyed me enough? Had I not paid enough? Like a switch being flipped, Milos was now crying.
You just want me to die so you can marry someone else.
Misha was laying in his crib. His fussing had stopped as he focused intensely on his mobile, trying harder and harder to grab the odd spinning contraptions. Before I could stop him, Milos scooped up our son into his arms, holding him, kissing his head. His mood changed again, the anger returning as he held our son.
What is it wrong that I hold him? I have every right to hold him.
Fear clenched my chest, but I had to try to keep him docile while he was grasping our infant.
You fucked this up. You have fucking postpartum depression. You and your fucking hormones caused all of this.
Now he was pacing, spewing whatever combination of words he thought would sting the most.
I just want to spend what little time I have left with my son. You know what is fucked up? When I do die, you won't let any of my family see him. I am the one that convinced you not to have an abortion.
Spit was flying. He was grinding his teeth with unbridled fury. His eyes were wide and manic. Misha was crying. I had to stop him. Making a split-second decision, I ran to the office, pulled my phone out of my purse, and threw my messenger bag onto the bed. As I started to dial 911, Milos was behind me, grabbing my wrist and wrenching the phone away from my hand. Blinding pain shot up my wrist and my arm, my left pinky receiving the worst of it. I screamed and screamed for help. Our neighbors in the attached unit were only a thin wall between us, but they must have not been home. Deja vu. Only this time, it was just me being hurt. Sliding to the floor, Milos put my phone in his pocket and extracted his own. My baby was wailing, and I was completely helpless. The monster was stronger, having a good 100 pounds of muscle on me. With only one free hand and arm, he had overpowered any resistance with ease.
Look at you. I am recording you. You need to get treatment.
Smiling again, a face full of malice. When it came to fights, Milos kept going and going until he thought he had won. I had to make him think that he had won. I had to get him to calm down and give me Misha.
You're right. I think I do have postpartum. This has all been my fault. I am so sorry.
Crying harder and harder, and he was laughing. standing over me as I huddled on the carpet floor, defeated. It took a few hours, but Milos relaxed and gave Misha back to me, apologizing. He didn't want to die. All of this had just been really hard on him. With Milos, it was always the stick and then the carrot. Sheepishly, he also returned my phone. My left hand was throbbing. The knuckle on my pinky was swollen and had easily doubled in size. I didn't think that anything was broken besides me. Needing to change my sweatpants because Misha had spit up, I had Milos hold the baby as I went back into the walk-in closet to swap out for a fresh pair. Quickly pulling out my phone, I snapped two photos of my injury and changed my lock screen password just in case. My mom made it back to Arizona safely, and I didn't want to be any more of a burden. I just told her that we'd gotten into a little fight, but everything was going to be okay. Milos is just scared out of his mind and really needs you right now, she explained. Sneakily, I had been messaging her when Milos left the room. She was right, but it didn't make my life any easier. I no longer felt alone. I was alone. Sleep evaded me. Milos moaned and drenched shirt after shirt with sweat well into the following morning. His body was trying to fight off the cancer by burning it up. Raising his temperature to a high enough level, his immune system struggled to kill the quickly multiplying invaders. The more time I had to think, the more I realized his outburst was my fault as well. If only I had been more tolerant of Zora and never kicked them out, this wouldn't have happened. The blame was on me. My self-esteem was at an all-time low, and I was willing to do anything to make it right. Anything to stop the fighting, even if it meant letting Zora back in. We started slowly, with her staying for an afternoon and Milos returning her back to the hotel at night. She really was a talented cook, obvious by her girth, and I was too busy with our one-month-old to be able to fix the kind of meals Milos needed. No sugar, low salt, veggies, and with his type of cancer, meat. Anemia was an unwelcome friend, so Milos had to incorporate liver into his diet for the iron. We received a bit of good news before he started his immunotherapy treatments. Further blood draws and analysis, and the doctors now thought he had chronic lymphoblastic leukemia, not myelofibrosis like they first suspected. I'm going to be good in 2-3 months, and then we can put this all behind us. We will be in Serbia, getting married. He kissed the hand he was holding. I no longer wanted to marry him, but how do you abandon someone fighting for their very existence? What if it were me that had cancer and not him? There was only one option. Stay. Having to be up and pumping milk multiple times a night, I frequently got lost browsing medical articles, learning about the drugs he was on, various treatments, and their success rates. Some of the best cancer hospitals were in Texas or back east, and I didn't understand why he was messing around. He had the resources to be able to get premium, cutting-edge treatment. Why not go where they had the highest cure rates?
Brittany, Zora keeps having to pay so much in fees to transfer cash for my treatments. Do you think we could send money to your checking account?
If it would help, why not? But I had to ask my accountant first. It was now late February, and things had been relatively smooth between Milos and I for almost a month. Enduring his treatments alone because Misha was too small to be at the hospital and around the potential germs, he had me constantly worried. Sometimes I had to keep him at the hospital for 2-3 days at a time when his body wasn't handling the drugs. He did better when they administered interferon alpha only, as it made his muscles ache, as well as some vomiting. Nothing compared to when it was a Rituxan day. Rituxan, or rituximab, was intense, attacking the unhealthy cells and mercilessly destroying them. The result was his whole body felt like it was on fire. Milos's heart pounding so loud that I thought it might burst as my head rested on his chest, trying to offer what comfort I could muster. He kept talking about death. Everything I'd been reading said your attitude was just as important as the treatment itself. Milos was giving up too easily.
Can you do something for me? I already have your passport, but I need Misha's social security card and birth certificate. You know my apartment in Russia and the office building I own in Serbia? My lawyer is going to draw up paperwork. Both go to Misha when he is 18. Well, if I die, they would both go to you right away.
His miserable outlook only added to my misery.
You aren't going to die. Come on. This isn't necessary.
I replied, a sunny grin on my face. The mask I now wore. Upbeat, overpositive, pretend housewife. Milos inquired day after day about Misha's documents, insisting that he wanted us taken care of just in case. On February 22nd, I relented, giving him all the paper items necessary to set his affairs in order. His doctors now believe that his cancer was no longer chronic, but acute lymphoblastic leukemia. Wasting away in more and more pain, it was apparent that his body wasn't responding to treatments as they had hoped. Could the universe not throw us a bone? Maybe Milos was being punished for his past indiscretions, bad karma, but I hated having to witness it. More and more crying. He finally did get his step one board results back, and he did indeed fail, but only by a few points. Showing me the email proof on his laptop, he had scored the lowest in pathology. Odd, as his master's degree was in forensic pathology. My first language is Serbian, my medical schooling was in Serbian and German, and I have to translate the questions from English. How is this possible? How could I have missed so many? He demanded. He looked to me for answers. His beautiful, sad eyes looked to me, and I had no clue what to say. One by one, our plans and dreams had perished. The extra money from the sale of my house was going to last, potentially, 3 more months, if I was careful. Milos was defeated, and now so was I. I couldn't take any more bad news. Through all of this, I continued to make the YouTube vlogs that had brought so much success to my channel. Continued to film and upload my adorable family, knowing that sooner or later, the comments would start changing.
Why is Milos so thin?
Is he okay?
Your fiance's getting skinny, girl. Get him to eat more.
Is Milos all right? He looks sick.
Here's a morbid thought. If Milos did lose his battle with cancer, his son would have videos to watch of his father. Knowing him through a computer screen would be better than not knowing him at all. I was emotionally, physically, and monetarily taking care of everyone. No one was taking care of me. Every time I was on the phone with my mother or even mentioned her name, he tensed up. Still angry, he blamed her for stolen time and adding to the stress that had made his body sick. I could only talk to her when he was at his treatments. It felt like I had to sneakily communicate, which was driving me mad. Not fair, as I had been working on forgiving Zora. It was still a power struggle, she was still a controlling pig, but I had been polite and kind and made an effort to find common ground. Unable to stand it any longer, sick or not, I decided to bring it up one evening. Milos was having a pleasant day, not overly nauseated or weak. It seemed like the right timing. As you know, I've been making an effort with Zora. I would like you to do the same with my mother, I said, rubbing his head. Misha was already zonked, snoring gently in his crib.
Absolutely not. He answered without hesitation.
My hands stopped, not expecting the topic to still be so touchy. Milos, I can only talk to her when you are not around, or I get glares and weird looks. She is my mother, the one that paid off your first car so I could get you the lease for the second. She loves you. He was out of bed now, pacing. Things were escalating quickly.
Stay calm, come on. I am doing everything I can to help. I just want to be able to talk to my mom when you are around, I said, pleading for him to at least give me this.
I am sick, Brittany. I am fucking sick. What is wrong with you?
He went to say more, but stopped, suddenly, grabbed his chest, his eyes wide.
My heart, I think I'm having a heart attack.
With that, he fell to the floor, motionless. I wanted to laugh. That was the worst acting I had ever seen. Sure, he wasn't moving, but I also wasn't buying it. Getting up calmly and stepping over him, I headed towards the kitchen. If you had a heart attack, I'm going to call for assistance. No sooner were the words out of my mouth before he was magically stumbling behind me, still holding his chest.
Get me an ice pack for my wrists, my heart, Brittany!
This got my attention. He was yelling and shaking, stumbling. Maybe he really was having a heart attack. I rushed to the freezer, handed him a blue frozen rectangle, and grabbed my phone. As I dialed 911, he wheezed and pocketed his wallet and keys.
Milos, wait! We need to call an ambulance!
Putting the ice pack on his right wrist, he turned and stumbled back down the hallway to the staircase, hitting the walls as he tried to move quickly. Not listening, he kept tripping and falling down the steps. Now I was screaming.
Stop! Wait for an ambulance! What are you doing?
Milos opened the door at the base of the stairs and practically fell into the night air.
I'm going to drive myself. It will be faster. Take care of Misha.
Struggling to get into his car, I watched him back out swiftly, throwing the sports car into drive and burning rubber. My teeth were chattering. My body started to shake as I proceeded to call 911 and describe in detail what he was wearing, the make, model, and license plate number of his car, where he was headed, and what freeway I thought he was on. The nice female dispatcher on the other end assured me that they would do their best to look for him. What if he had another heart attack on the way to the emergency room and crashed? But why did I still not believe him? They released him from the hospital the next day, but according to Milos, he did indeed have a minor heart attack. The doctors urged him to keep his stress levels down, especially with the drugs traveling through his system. Again, this was my fault. Enough was enough. I shut down, sinking into depression. Misha was loved and well cared for, but I stopped caring about my well-being. Showering only every 3 or 4 days, brushing my teeth when I remembered, eating only when my hunger would no longer tolerate my indifference. I was a shell of the person I once was. Hollow, docile, jumping to please. Even in the fog I now resided in, things just weren't adding up.
The doctors want me to go play tennis, work out. It is crucial for blood cancers.
Misha in the stroller, we sat watching him play. He would run all over the court for 2-3 hours at a time. When my dad had cancer, he spent a lot of time resting. Too wiped out most days to do much of anything. An itch in the back of my head just wouldn't go away. It kept itching and itching, urging me to wake up. March 12th, 2017. It was 2 a.m. and I was still awake. Misha was like clockwork, wanting to eat at midnight, 2 o'clock, and then 6 in the morning. Milos was having all these treatments, right? But how? What method were they using to deliver the meds? Good old Google. I typed in, how is Rituxan administered? Opening the official website for the drug, guess what? Injected by IV. I had an IV in my hand when I was giving birth. It left a nasty bruise for a week. There wasn't a mark on Milos's flawless tan skin. That motherfucker. Chapter 14. Just do it. Click, click, click. So many things were falling into place and starting to make sense. Milos wouldn't let me come to any of his doctor's appointments because he wasn't sick. He could play tennis and work out for hours at a time because he wasn't sick. He didn't want anyone around us to know that he had cancer because they might catch on to him. He was convinced that he would be cured in 2-3 months tops because he got to decide when this charade ended. Milos may have not been physically sick, but he was definitely sick in the head. What kind of human fakes having a serious, life-threatening illness and enjoys watching the suffering it causes? Correction, what kind of humans? Zora was in on his lie, playing her part of concerned parent flawlessly. Some examples.
I have to wait at his appointments? I am so worried.
He is so young. This is not fair.
Brittany, don't be sad. He is very tough. He will beat this.
My first guess was that his cancer was an elaborate plan to get my mom out of the way and get Zora back in. Some twisted game they were playing to punish me until they thought that I had been punished enough. He could have continued to use stress as a reason once he was cured to keep us separated so he wouldn't have a potential relapse. I had also seen Milos's true colors, and he was dangerous. The verbal abuse and physical altercations had been steadily escalating. Milos was an artist at torturing me, and like any artist, he would want to keep improving in his craft. Mom, I think Milos has been faking having cancer, I confessed on the phone. No gasp or shock in her voice when she replied, I could have told you that one. She further explained that I was so brainwashed and controlled that she didn't know if I would ever snap out of it, that even if she had told me he was faking his disease, I wouldn't have believed her. Sadly, she was right. I wouldn't have wanted to believe that someone could be that evil. I would have pulled away even further, limiting our contact, choosing to support Milos. When did you figure it out? I asked, trying to deduce the timeline of events. I had my suspicions, but I knew for sure when he started playing tennis every few days. You just can't do that, especially if he's been going through immunotherapy. He is strong, but not that strong. I haven't been sleeping. I have been so worried about you. What do I do now? Tell me what to do, and I will do it. My mom wanted to immediately jump in her car, drive to the airport, hop on the next plane, and come to our rescue. But now was not the time to be rash. We hatched a plan. Barbara would come out for one of her normal antique buying trips, which she had been doing every 2 months since Milos and I had started dating. She had been gone for a month and a half, so the timing was perfect. I would schedule a few meetings, appointments to fix the funky haircut and dye job I had received in San Diego, a meeting with a new management company that wanted to represent me and some of my writing projects, legitimate business-related events in L.A. that Milos would have no choice but to let me go to, putting a cozy 100-something miles between us. After all, I was paying all the bills. Milos was bonkers, but not blind. He knew he needed his cash cow to keep earning so he could keep spending. We booked the hotels that we were going to be staying at with my mom's credit card just in case.
Absolutely not. That woman is not coming back in this house. I do not feel comfortable with her around my son, Milos shouted.
But knowing now what he was hiding, I also knew what buttons to push. Fine, then we are going to go our separate ways. I need to do this for work to earn money. You either get on board or we break up. If we were just friends, I would no longer be paying for everything and he would have to pass his boards and get a job. Granted, it would be a really well-paying job when he finally did succeed, but that would also involve working. Cancer was the perfect excuse for him to sleep all night long while I was up with the baby. It was the perfect excuse for him not to have to study anymore and play video games or watch movies. It was the perfect excuse to be on constant holiday where he could work out, come and go as he pleased, and absolutely everything was taken care of. We reached a sort of compromise. Milos decided that we were going to baptize Misha in L.A., so he and Zora would come up and meet us after a couple of days.
In Serbian Orthodox baptisms, they wrap the baby in oilcloth, fully submerge them in water 3 times, and the godfather cuts his hair. Miloš had decided that Jurica would be Misha's godfather, the thug lawyer who cheated on his alcoholic anorexic wife. This I knew to be true, as I had seen Mara drunk on more than one occasion and overheard conversations between Zora and her about Jurica's infidelity. Jurica would be an amazing role model for our offspring. Not? I said yes to his every request so he would say yes to me leaving town unsupervised. With our son. It worked. My favorite person on the planet was existing solely on breast milk, so it was pretty much a given that Misha would be tagging along. We would get to LA and then figure out what to do next. Even harder than Miloš pretending to be sick was me pretending that I didn't know that he was pretending. I had to sleep in the same bed, kiss him, rub his back, act normal. Not let him catch on. What was Nikola going to do when he found out I had left Miloš? And what was Miloš ingesting to manifest his symptoms? The sweating all night? The vomiting? Racing heartbeat, swollen glands, a white strip down the back of his throat, hives and rashes? He was a doctor, so he probably knew exactly what drugs to take and what dosage. If I was going to leave Miloš, time was of the essence. I needed an excuse as to why I was starting to pack up the townhouse. This part of the plan wasn't too hard to act out, as I really was running out of money, and I really would have had to move. It just gave me the flexibility to be able to start packing up my stuff without raising suspicion. We have to get out of this apartment. It is too expensive. I don't care if we have to pay the lease break fee, but I can't afford it any longer. A partially genuine statement on my part. I really couldn't afford the money-sucking dwelling any longer. Miloš and I had this conversation as we browsed ingredients at the supermarket for yet another healthy dinner catered to his affliction, even though I wanted to run, holding Misha and screaming, "Fire, fire," at the top of my lungs. "Whatever you think we need to do, Brittany, we can move to a smaller apartment," he said, buying into my lies for a change. With that, I started sorting and packing any moment that Misha was sleeping, staying within range of the baby monitor. I might have filled the community dumpster, and I mean the entire dumpster, 4 times with my old props and costumes. When you have created over 1,000 videos like I had, you unintentionally turn into a hoarder. Halloween was easy. I just had to go into my garage and pick out a costume. All of it no longer mattered. Not the props or the clothes I owned or antiques I had collected. Nice things are nice, but they are just that, things. I would have thrown everything away if it meant getting out of there sooner. March 19th, 2017. My mom drove from Sedona, Arizona to San Diego. She could have flown, but if we were going to get me moved out of my townhouse, we were going to need the extra mode of transportation. Miloš knew something was up, but he wasn't fully on to me. As I gave Misha his morning bath, my mom was loading my car with her suitcases and such. We were going to have to leave her vehicle and have it shipped back at a later date. Miloš should have been at one of his treatments, as it was past 9 a.m., the time when they were always scheduled, but his doctors were okay with him coming in later that morning after we had headed out.
"You are not going with Misha."
Miloš was crouched down next to me as our son tried to splash. From birth, he had loved water, especially if he could stir it up and get it everywhere.
"Leave him with Zora and I," he ordered.
Why was I crying again? I hated and was terrified of this man, but how could I still want him? For me, this was goodbye. Lately, whenever he went to his treatments, he kept coming back tanner and tanner. He said he liked to sit on the bench at the hospital and get fresh air. Unless he was sitting on the bench in his underwear because not just his face was getting darker, he was, of course, lying. Was he lying every time he told me that he loved me? Was our whole relationship a lie?
I couldn't worry about this just yet, and my tears were actually a good thing. He was in attack mode so often, weeping was my natural response.
There's no way I'm leaving Misha, and you already agreed to this trip. I mean it, Milos. You be nice to my mom, or we will be just friends.
He hesitated, but got up and left, passing Barbara in the hallway. I heard an overly bright, "Good morning," exit his lips, comical as he had pretty much ignored her since her arrival. Finally, my car was packed and we were off. I wasn't too worried about retaliation the first day, sending photos of Misha and keeping him informed. My teeth hadn't been looked at in forever, so I desperately needed to hit up my dentist in Beverly Hills. I also wanted to talk to Abby, the elderly hygienist who had been cleaning my chomper since I was 18. She was a grandma herself, many times over, and had given solid advice in the past. Laying in her chair, I was totally drained as I told her about Milos, the lies, and his mother's actions. Abby was appalled, but patiently let me recount my woes.
"That woman is going to try to take your son," she said finally. "She really does think that baby is hers. You don't let him out of your sight. And are you sure that she is his mom? I mean, they sleep in the same bed. You said she's always rubbing his back or his leg? A little bit incestuous, don't you think?"
Click, click, click. More things started to fall into place. Milos and Zora kept insisting that we go to Serbia so everyone could see Misha when he was 6 months old. At 6 months old, he could be off of breast milk and would no longer need me. Milos only wanted photos of Misha, never Misha and me. Zora had already bought a crib and toys for her apartment in Belgrade and their other house in Bosnia. Milos and I had taken portraits after his cancer diagnosis with another cousin of his, Anto. Anto was a professional photographer and lived in Hollywood. He had come down for a weekend, during which Milos had insisted I snap new headshots for acting as well. What I had thought was odd was that Milos wanted pictures too. Close up, not smiling, mouth closed from the shoulders up. Passport photos. A myriad of the headshots Anto had taken of me were also the same framing. They could now make fake passports for Milos, Misha, and me. Milos had tricked me into giving him Misha's social security card and birth certificate, and he already had copies of my passport and driver's license. Who knows, they could have started applying for Serbian citizenship for Misha, as Serbian law only required the consent of one parent to do so. Zora and her maybe son had everything they needed to leave the country with my child without my permission. Whenever Zora was around Misha, she kept mentioning his smooth skin, how he didn't have any birthmarks or physical imperfections. Shit, were they going to try to sell my son? They could already have a buyer, and a healthy, attractive male baby would fetch a pretty price tag. On more than one occasion, Milos had talked about Nikola's friends, who were supposedly involved in human trafficking. Another possible reason why Milos had no emotional attachment. His child was just another underhanded business transaction. I was shivering, but not cold. Abby hadn't even started cleaning my teeth. I was scared out of my mind, but in protect mode. But how do I get out? His family is wealthy and running the Serbian mafia. I whispered the last part, as anyone in the dental office would have been like, "What?" My adorable hygienist leaned over me so her face was right in front of mine, pulling her glasses down to convey her next words very clearly.
"Just do it."
Goosebumps lined my arms. She was right. First things first, I needed to file a police report for the second instance of domestic violence where he had hyperextended my pinky finger. The Pasadena Police Department informed me that it needed to be done in the county of the crime. Frustrating, as this meant we had to head back to San Diego prematurely. My next move on this dangerous chessboard was to cancel Misha's christening. March 22, 2017. Milosh, I have been thinking really hard and I want to wait on his baptism. What religion and when should be a mutual decision, something that we decide together. I texted him, fearing his response. It was immediate. You decided with me. I nicely asked and paid and organized. This is a sin, Brittany, and this is your mom again. Typical Milosh manipulation. No verbal abuse. It has to stop. Bubbles on the screen indicated that he was typing. Ding. Okay, think about this very, very, very well. I knew what he was implying. Think about his family, their power and connections. And I did think about it all night long and well into the next morning. Every white van that passed, every stranger who stared or seemed to be watching, at any moment I fully expected to be kidnapped or worse. March 23rd, 2017. The plan continued, this time ending our relationship for good. I needed Milosh fully moved out, the lease car I was paying for returned, as well as the keys to the townhouse and the debit card he was still using. While at the hair salon getting my color fixed, I decided to enact this part of the ruse. Our relationship isn't working and it hasn't been for a long time. I no longer feel comfortable living with you. I need you to return the Mercedes to the townhouse by tomorrow afternoon and turn in the keys to the front office. They will be expecting you before 4 p.m. I texted him. Again, his response was immediate. Do you want to do it this way, then? You want to go this way with me? Think about this as well. Whatever was to come, I wasn't backing down. No more threats. We went back and forth until he finally relented, knowing that I owned the car and could report it stolen if he didn't comply. He was technically on the lease for the townhouse and didn't have to move out if he didn't want to do so, but thankfully, he finally gave in. March 24th, 2017. We packed up the car again and headed back down south. There was no other choice. My only hope was getting the San Diego police involved and going through their legal system, praying that we might find some sort of protection. Something was better than nothing. We weren't married, but Milosh was still Misha's father and had legal rights to him until a court clarified custody. What if we would have just fled the state? Milosh and I weren't married, but Misha was still his child by blood. He could have reported his son kidnapped, and then I would have been the one in trouble. So incredibly discouraging. What if I would have left Misha in L.A. with my mother? One, I couldn't afford a hotel week after week, and neither could she. And two, what if the court ordered mandatory visitation? I would not be able to move out of San Diego County without a judge's permission. Reason three, we were better off together than divided. Even if it meant entering back into the lion's den. Normally, I love road trips, but the 120-mile journey back to San Diego was the worst of my existence. Not knowing if Milosh had done as I had asked and moved out. Not knowing what was waiting for us. Pulling up to the townhouse, I saw that Milosh had indeed left the car in the driveway. Filthy, dirty, and with a few extra thousand miles. I had no clue where he had been driving to rack it up so quickly. Mexico and back, best guess. Even more disturbing, he somehow left the house keys and the debit card on the stairs, but managed to lock the front door, which told me he had an extra set. Immediately, I called the police, explained my situation, and waited for an officer to arrive. My mom had tried to warn me, as her uncle was chief of police in Montana while she was growing up. She knew firsthand how most law enforcement officers operate. Whoever comes in is going to be really hard on you because they are trained to do so in domestic violence cases. They have to make sure that you are telling the truth. Oh boy, was she right. Officer Miller was a stone-cold individual.
In his 40s, with blonde hair that was fashioned into a buzz cut, he looked like he was probably ex-military, the hardened persona that follows most soldiers who have experienced live combat.
Why are you reporting this over a month after it occurred? Why didn't you call us right away? Explain to me why I should believe you.
His voice was flat, emotionless.
Because it's the truth.
Officer Miller drilled me and drilled me until I started to give up. If I couldn't convince him of the facts, then I was on my own. Milos would get to brainstorm and enact whatever revenge he deemed suitable for my latest disobedience. When he finished questioning me, I took Misha to the bedroom so he could now interrogate my mother, find out her take on things and the events that had occurred. Barbara had also warned me about this as well, that we would be separated and questioned individually to make sure that everything lined up. My shoulders slumped as I stared out the tiny window next to the bed in the dwelling that had been my personal purgatory. Footsteps indicated the officer was walking through the hallway and back down the steps. My mom opened the door, peeking her head in. He said he would be right back. Barbara, Misha, and I sat on the couch in the living room in silence. Our spirits were low as we waited. It felt like hours before Officer Miller did indeed plod back up the stairs, paperwork in hand. I am not sure if a domestic violence restraining order will be granted as you waited so long to report the crime. I have made a report. Here is the number. Call here to find out when it will be ready to pick up. Take your report number and head to the San Diego courthouse on Monday. Get there early, see if they will give you some temporary orders of protection. I thanked him and thanked him, hoping that it wasn't too late. His parting words at the door were as follows.
Change the locks, tell your neighbors what is going on in case they spot him in the neighborhood so they can warn you. Don't go anywhere alone. Don't go out after dark unless it is an emergency. Good luck.
Luck. I was gonna need it. Chapter 15. Sociopath. March 27th, 2017. Mom, my birth certificate. I had two official copies. One is missing. My mother had just gotten out of the shower, and Misha had been crying and fussy since 5 a.m., refusing that any of us sleep a second longer. She was fully dressed with a towel wrapped around her hair as her face drained of color.
Great. Just great. Call the police again.
All of my important documents had been stuffed in the bottom of a blanket box at the base of my bed. Having chosen not to be there when Milos had transported his items, I thought it best to check on things that were valuable and make sure they were still accounted for. Another officer of the law, this time a very bubbly brunette, wrote down my account of the stolen certificate, giving me the document number and specifying when it would be available at the San Diego Police Department records office. She took her leave. The moment she exited, my phone rang. It was the detective at the police department assigned to my domestic violence case. He was giving me a follow-up call to see if I had any further questions.
What do you think he was on to assist in his cancer act? What kind of drugs? I inquired, hoping he would lend some clarity.
The gruff male voice pondered a moment.
He was probably using cocaine or heroin. All he would need to do is go off the drugs, and his body would head into withdrawals, causing the night sweats and more.
Milos used to talk about how every surgeon used cocaine because they needed it to be able to work for 18 hours straight. At least some of his erratic behavior made more sense. He was likely on drugs. Whether they were illegal, prescription, or over-the-counter, I wasn't sure. I had never seen him taking anything in person, but he was constantly wiping or blowing his nose. My now ex-fiancé also had high blood pressure, weight loss, vomiting, increased heart rate, a myriad of symptoms that coincided with some sort of substance abuse. I was the third person in line at the courthouse after an already busy morning.
San Diego judicial system had certain times where you could get help with paperwork from paralegals on the courthouse staff for free. Yes, I needed a lawyer, but I could get the ball rolling on my own. I didn't think Milos would try anything at such a public venue, surrounded by law enforcement, so I felt somewhat safe for the moment. When the doors opened at 8 a.m., like dominoes, we fell one by one in an orderly fashion through the age double doors. Before I knew it, I was in front of a very sweet paralegal. Sporting not a lick of makeup and her curly auburn hair pulled back in a ponytail, she was a no-fuss kind of gal. After I recounted my story yet again, she condensed it to the key elements, typing away as I talked. Mafia, abuse, rage, fear that they might flee the country with my son, all valid reasons why I needed a restraining order. This, in turn, was sent to a judge to see if he or she would grant my request. From there, I was shuffled to another department to wait for the magistrate's decision. 3 excruciating hours I lingered in a very uncomfortable chair in front of the clerks on the 3rd floor. "Brittany Taylor, come to window 2, please." I could feel my chest clench as I walked, barely daring to breathe. The employee at the standing desk was Chinese-American, probably about my age, and kind-natured. He had a warm smile and empathetic demeanor about him. Everyone I had encountered so far had been friendly but professional. Whoever did the hiring, bravo. "Your temporary restraining order has been granted. The orders need to be served by a third party, the sheriff's office, a friend, or using a substitute service. It needs to be done before your first court date on 4/17/2017. Relieved, I thanked him and called my mom to give her the good news. Booking it back to my car, I only felt secure once I was inside with the doors locked. All we needed to do now was figure out how to get him served. Here was my hunch. Milos had told me he was staying with his mom in a hotel at the Rancho Malago Inn, right? But Zora always seemed to be bringing over food that she had made. Soups, bread, baklava. According to Milos, she was cooking everything at his Aunt Mary's house and bringing it over. Louis was always playing with, correction, humping, his aunt's dogs. Could it be that Milos and Zora were staying with Mary and Kevin? Kevin Adams, her husband, had added me on Facebook months earlier. Home and back on the computer, I typed into a search engine, Kevin Adams address, San Diego. One of the 2 generic background check websites pulled it up, no problem. There was a photo of Kevin as well as his phone number, home address, and other personal information for a minimal fee. Betting on the website information being accurate, I filled out the necessary paperwork and dropped it off at the sheriff's office for them to pursue. I was right. Milos was served the next day. He had guilted me for months and months about how expensive the hotel was because I kicked out Zora, and the whole time they were staying with his aunt for free. When I had asked why Zora wasn't staying with Mary, Milos said that she couldn't because they had an exchange student. Zora was enrolled in an English school and had started taking classes to improve her language skills. My guess was their exchange student and Zora were one in the same. Masters of manipulation. No longer numb and controlled, I was wide awake and fighting for the freedom and safety of not only myself, but my mother and my child. If I ever decided to become a detective, I would probably be pretty good at it. Love had made me trusting and naive. Now I was tireless in my pursuit of the truth and anything that would help me win. The stakes were too high not to. With the court date fast approaching, I needed to not only move out of my townhouse with most of my remaining belongings going into storage, but I also desperately needed to find a good family lawyer. Someone who could convince the judge that I should be allowed to leave the state with my child to an address only disclosed to the court. Assuring the powers that be that I wasn't running and I would be present at any and all future trial dates. Having never had to hire a lawyer before, good old mom stepped in to help, and she found one on Yelp. "Brittany, how about this place? It looks really good." She was pointing to a family law practice on the computer screen, Axel Law Group. Reviews on Yelp and